The Lord has taken me up into heaven to relive this very scene, line upon line, three times throughout my Christian walk. I don't know why he did what he did. I wasn't praying for this. But each time, it was what I saw, what I heard, what I felt was so amazing. Again, I don't know that there's really earthly vernacular that can adequately describe what I was involved with. I could never thank God enough for what he did. One of the things that I learned through those three experiences was the profound love, worship, and holiness that is in heaven. Those in heaven love him profoundly, and he loves them. They're pure, they're holy, because there is nothing left of the world that can touch them. Needless to say, he is pure and holy. They worshiping him in this state of holy perfection releases something I don't even know how to describe, except that it is so awesome. It is so wondrous. It is so excellent. It is so majestic because he is majestic. When you attempt to stand before his majesty, he has come to me a few times. I can't tell you how many. This particular experience that I was given, I was taken to heaven and literally experienced it with the people. And he was there in his majesty. And unless he says something, does something to enable you to be in that presence, you can't. It, as a human being, as a created being, it just takes your breath away. The awe of it. The awe of his majesty, the beauty of his majesty. The fragrance. I don't know how to describe the fragrance, but I have had the privilege of experiencing the fragrance of the Lord so many times, and different fragrances, but there is one particular fragrance that reminds me of the holy anointing oil that is here on the earth to be used in the worship of the Lord. And this worship to his majesty is so fragrant that the fragrance alone is inebriating, let alone his presence. He carries this fragrance wherever he goes, but there is an added dimension when it is mixed with the worship of the saints. We see that in the book of Revelation. I won't go there because it would make this message too long, but we see it in the book of Revelation that the angels are mixing the fragrance. And you have an entirely different combination. But even then, it is so beautiful. It is so inebriating to the heart, the spirit, and the soul of the believer. And I believe in some respect that we wouldn't understand even to the Lord. But the most important thing that fills that incredible place, because the Bible lists things that happen from John looking on from a perspective. And when you're up there in it, you realize that there are countless saints and angels present from all over heaven. And so being there, worshiping him like this with our brothers and sisters who have gone on is incredible. But one of the things that it stirs is the fear of the Lord. This is not an ungodly fear. This is a holy, reverential fear. I spoke a little bit about this. I've tried to speak a little bit about this in the last three times that I've spoken because the Lord has asked me to do this. But the fear of the Lord provokes and encompasses awe, reverence, adoration, honor, worship, righteous confidence in his goodness, thankfulness, love, fear. It provokes contrition, holy awe, divine respect, reverence. There we go again. I must have been really, really honed in on that word. Dread, wonder, and selfless love for the majestic. One writer wrote that this awe, this fear of the Lord, is an overwhelming feeling or sense of reverence, holy fear, wonder, produced and provoked by his holiness and his majesty, incomparable purity and perfection. And all that is true. But you can look at some of my writings and find so much more. What the fear of the Lord provokes in the heart of a believer who has it. Personally, I would never want to live a day in this life without that. He gave that to me, and I won't go into details. I've done it in other messages. But he gave that to me at a very, very young time, season of my Christian walk. So it's had a profound experience, a profound otherworldly living, if you will, that was granted to me because of it. It's like I'm ever aware of His holiness. Sometimes I'm aware of the spirit of the world and different spirits and principalities that try to steal the heart of the Christian. I can't stand their presence. And it's not because I fear them. I don't. You don't fear them if you have the fear of the Lord. But I can't stand their presence because it has, it's no fragrance. It's a profoundly ugly, horrible odor. And the feeling of it is just dreadful. I hate sin. I really hate it. But I love people. The angel of the Lord told Ricky that very thing when she was young in the Lord, that the Lord hates sin, but He loves people. So that had a profound effect on her life as well. But you feel compassion and mercy for people who have been, whose lives are being directed by the evil kingdom. Oh, I don't want to keep going there. It's so awful. I'm so thankful for the fear of the Lord because that is a fragrance that is beyond. Yes, the fear of the Lord has a profound fragrance. It has a profound sense of holiness, a profound sense of purity, a profound sense of perfection. It's incomparable. It is something every believer should want with all of their heart, all of their being. And that's why He wants me to talk about it, because He doesn't want you to be afraid. He wants you to desire it so that He can make you more like Him. The first time He allowed me to experience this glorious presence, He came to me in a very unique way, something I rarely talk about because people have a problem with it, but it's in the Bible, and it's attributed to God, not to evil. So I want to share with you that just before the Lord entered in this majestic presentation of Himself, a dark cloud appeared and, as it were, stood between Him and I in the beginning. I often wondered what that dark cloud signified. And I felt like He told me that it was there because I was not yet ready to see the highest of His glory. It was too brilliant. My heart wouldn't be able to deal with it. Even my spirit man would have had difficulty. He did remove that cloud before He left, and I did see Him, but not at the height of His wondrous glory. So over the initial years, and I would say even till recently, the glory that He allows me to see is getting more and more profoundly bright to the point that it is so difficult to look at Him with your eyes. When the Bible talks about the glory that emanated from the Lord. I know that he who saw him, he said, brighter than any fuller could whiten them, because he was wrestling for words to explain what he saw. But in all honesty, you cannot, if you look at the whitest white paper or the most beautiful white snowfall and the sun shining down on that beautiful snowfall, you still cannot touch the whiteness of his glory. It is so far higher than that. So he allowed this dark cloud between us in the beginning. But during his visit and during all of that I experienced during that visit, it made a way for him to be able to remove that cloud so that I knew that I knew that I knew that it was my Savior and Lord. But let me read something that a prophetess wrote. I don't know that she calls herself a prophetess, but she really is. I have known her from the past, and she has a beautiful, beautiful walk with the Lord. And she asked an angel what that dark cloud was about, because she too saw it. And this is what the angel said to her. The dark cloud that surrounds God is actually the dense oil of the Spirit. A great good, a visible sign of the magnitude of the anointing, incomprehensible to mankind and therefore seemingly dark. To the majority of mankind, he is hidden in darkness, Exodus 20:21. Light that they cannot see emanates from him, and that is also true. To many of his children, he seems hidden, but the fire of his love is burning through the density of that oil now and will allow his children to see his love, his mercy, his fatherly compassion, as well as the startling reality of his holiness. This fire will burn all that is wood, hay, and stubble in the lives of his children. They must desire the fire and long for his holiness. His heart is turned toward them, and the fire of his love will reveal this. The hearts of the children will long to turn toward him, to walk through the fire of purification, and to rest in his arms. As the enemy hates the fire, so must God's children love it. For in and through the fire, they will see God. So when I tell you that I'm going to talk about the fear of the Lord and the fire of God, there you have it, all compressed into just two paragraphs. The fire of God is given to begin to start to provoke, to implement the cleansing of your inner man, of your soul, and even your spirit. Your mind is cleansed with it. Your heart is cleansed with it. Everything it touches is thrust into a cleansing process. Now, it's not easy to go through that. I'm not trying to sell you on something that isn't true. It's difficult to go through it. I've been there, done it. It's difficult because that fire is like fire burning through a log. I can remember when I was a child and would go out camping with, it was like a week of camping with our class. And I can remember sitting and watching the fire burn into the center of that log and then rise up to consume the outer part of the log. And that's what the fire of God does. It burns the center of your soul, compelling, really even compelling a sort of reconstruction, if you will. What it is doing is providing a place for the Son of God to dwell. Isn't that exciting? So when it's getting difficult, don't run away from it. The more difficult it becomes, the more adamant you must be that you're going to stay and let Him finish what He wants to do. I hope Ricky doesn't mind. I didn't ask her if I could share this with you, but she loves Jesus, so I think she won't mind. But I can remember many, many years ago, decades ago actually, she had a spiritual experience. And in the experience, she was laying in bed when her inner man caught on fire. And it blazed and blazed and blazed, and it blazed until she was in pain. So she tried to jump out of bed to protect herself from this pain, not really knowing or understanding what it was about. But when she jumped out, she bent over because she was so much discomfort, she couldn't stand up straight. When it had done its work, she suddenly stood up straight, experiencing a strength she had never known in her whole life. And the reason that this happens is because the Spirit has now taken His abode where once the weak spirit of man lived. So this is a very, very good thing, and that's why the angel spoke the way he did. The fire of God. Also, you see the fire of God in revival. If someone has been baptized in the fire of God, you sit under their ministry, revival, typically, as would be depicted, may not break out, but yet you sit under their teaching and you know you've met God. It's just different. I don't know how to describe it. I have been used in revival in the past. It not only affects those who attend the meetings, but it affects the one being used. And it's just amazing. God be glorified. He's so different than we are, church. He expects a lot, but He gives so much more than He expects. And He will empower us, enable us to do and to be all we need to be to walk this thing out. And let Him perfect the work that He's doing. So this place, and I'll try to wrap it up with this if I can. This place of the fear of the Lord, of that has been shared with us in Revelation chapter 4. This place of, oh, my brothers and sisters, Bible, in the book of Revelation, talks about the way John saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he was like fire from his feet up to his waist, and from his waist up to his head, this glorious, glorious fire. When he is at this highly exalted state, oh, I just can't hardly bear this, it's so painful, but it's so divine. At this highly exalted state, he is depicting the Father above. He is emanating his person. He is revealing the Father's personage. If you're standing near when he is in that state, the glory of our God is so great. Oh my goodness, it is so, so great. I've been there, I've done that, I know what I'm talking about. It's so, just his presence so consumes you. You are totally, seemingly divested of self, and you are filled with his glory. Filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lamb. Holy is the great I am. Glorious wonder. The majestic of all that is. If he invites you into such a relationship, by all means do not say no to the purification and the training of walking in that place. Because when he's done and he brings you into union, now hear me please. You live in heaven while here on this earth. He has taken me there. He has told me that he's put me there. He takes me places to intercede for him. When I say he takes me places, it crossed continents even. Because he has purified me to the point that he is able to do that. It's not my glory, it's his. We could never in ourselves do something like that to ourselves. Oh God, he wants you to know it is the most glorious way to live in this life. Don't ever say no. Just keep saying yes, give me grace, Lord. Yes, give me grace, Lord. Yes to your glory. And he will. I love my team. They're beautiful people. I love my daughter. I adore her. I love her hunger for the Lord. Denny and I have known each other for many decades, many years. He worked with me many years in the gatherings, and so probably most of you know who he is. He's that guy from Hawaii. And he's one of the most holy men I know. It is a wondrous life. Nothing to fear, for God is love. And he loves you more than you could ever love him.